Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Zvachem Daf Mem Vav. We begin two lines off the top of the Amud. Chutz Min Adam Bechul. So back to the Mishnah, where we learned that although several carbon materials are not really open to the pigul process for the reasons we discussed, however, the halacha of noisar of tummy applied to all those items as well. So just as if one eats pigul, he's liable to the kareis penalty. Likewise, if one eats noisar, carbon material which overstayed its expiry time, there's kareis for eating that. Likewise, if one eats carbon material while he is tummy, that generates kareis. Similarly, if the item itself is tummy, he's tohar. There's also an isser. It's an isser of lav, to refrain from that. In any case, the Mishnah tells us that dam is an exception to the rule. So the blood of a carbon will not be susceptible to the halachas of pigul, and even noisar and even tummy, and me'ila as well, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Now, as Rashi points out, in any case, blood is forbidden material, right? But the point is that if one eats dam of a carbon, he's only chayev one. He did one transgression on account of eating the blood, but he will not get that additional chayev if it's noisar, or if he's engaging it when he's tummy. That wouldn't apply to blood. Says the Gemara, okay, how do we know this? Minoha nimili. How do we know that blood is different? Blood is immune from the halachos of noisar, tummy, even me'ila, as we're going to see in a minute. Amar Ula, take a look at the pasuk, which discusses a blood of a carbon. And as Rashi points out, actually, this upcoming statement from Ula, wasn't really related to our Mishnah regarding noisar and tummy. It relates to halachos of me'ila. Right, so generally, if one diverts hegdish material for personal use, he misuses a korban, he has committed a very severe transgression called me'ila, which obligates him to bring a korban, to pay an extra fifth. That wouldn't apply to blood, as per Ula's presentation. And as we're going to see later in the Gemara, actually, we have three separate indicators in this pasuk that blood is exempt from me'ila, which seems to be, you know, redundant. Inevitably, it's come to teach us other things as well regarding dam, such as the fact that it's exempt from noisar and tummy as well. Mi'ila, noisar, and tummy. Learn from these three sources. So again, how do we know this halacha? The pasuk says, "Vanina nesatev lachem." So the pasuk reads like this: "Ki nefesh habasar b'dam." Right, the blood of the animal is the life force of the animal, and the purpose here is for kapara. It's meant to be put on the mizbeach to generate kapara. Vani nesatev lochem al mizbeach lachaper al nafshei seichem ki adam hu banefesh chaper, says the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin Yud Aleph. So in this pasuk we have the lashon lochem. Vani nesatev lochem, says Ula. Lochem means it's yours. Shelachem yehei. Okay, Rashi explains it's like a mundane material, which means to say there's no me'ila applied to blood of a carbon. He focuses on a different word in the pasuk. Amakro, the blood is lechaper. Vani nesat lechem al mizbeach lechaper. So the function of the blood of a carbon is lechaper. Strictly lechaper nesat. It's meant for kapara, not for me'ila. Rashi explains. Yeah, it's a carbon, but up to a point. It has no halacha as a me'ila. Le'inyan me'ila ain b'din kachim, says Rashi. With respect to me'ila, we don't treat it like a kachim material. So it's exempt from me'ila. Rabbi Yechon Amar, we have a third indicator as well, amakro. And the pasuk concludes, damai b'nafshay hu. Actually, they changed the gerson, Rashi. Ki adam hu, b'nefesh echaper, right? That's the conclusion of the pasuk. So the word who is extra. Who? Means it stays. It retains its status. Which status? Who? Who lefnei kapara k'lach kapara. Just as, you know, after the kapara was accomplished, after the blood was applied to the mizbeach, all agree, there's no me'ila. It's done. The process is over. It's no longer an act of carbon. Of course, me'ila is suspended, is taken away, is canceled. Who means? It's consistent. It will be consistency, free of, consistently, free of me'ila. Whether before kapara, even before kapara, just like after kapara. So before and after is the same. Lifnei kapara, its status before completing the, you know, the process of applying it to the mizbeach is the same k'lach kapara like afterwards, which is understood to be free of me'ila. Ma'ach kapara, just like after kapara, just like there, ain ba me'ila, all agree there's no me'ila. Rashi says it's pashat. We all understand, kivan shenasas mitzvah, says Rashi, once the mitzvah had been accomplished, once the blood had been applied, the process has been completed successfully, of course, there's no me'il anymore. Rashi says, you know why? The kivan, the less, Rashi is around halfway down the oven, the kivan, the less space, sutzurach gavay, since it's no longer needed for the carbon process, it's done. Loi karina be'kadosh Hashem, we no longer apply the title, kadosh Hashem. It's been sort of deactivated. So the same status as after we applied to before. Lifnei kapara k'lach kapara. Ma'ach kapara is like after kapara. Ein boy mila. There's no mila anymore. Af, likewise. Lifnei kapara before kapara as well. Ein boy mila is no mila. Well, says the Gemara, who says to go this way? Maybe turn the wheel the other way. Okay, you want it to be on the same, you know, plane, before and the after. Instead of saying just like after has been freed of mila, before as well. Maybe go the other way, just as before there is Mila, assumingly there is Mila, before it's been, you know, processed properly. Likewise, even after Kapara there is Mila. Who says to turn the wheel this way? Turn it that way. Ema, perhaps go the other way. La'acha Kapara, status of the Dam after Kapara, will be with Mila. Kill Fnei Kapara, just like before Kapara. Ma, just as the Fnei Kapara before Kapara, we assume Yesh Bamila, there is Mila. Likewise, after kapara, yesh b'mil. Is mila even after kapara? Well, it's impossible, says the Gemara. Ein l'chadav, as Rashi pointed out, we don't find such a phenomenon that mila stays on even after the mitzvah had been completed successfully. It's no longer active. Carbon material, of course, there's no mila. Ein l'chadav, we don't find anywhere an item, a material shenasas mitzvasa. That after fulfilling its process, its mitzvah, umayalamboy, this still should be mila. So that's an impossible proposition. Verloy, really? I'll find you at least one, or maybe even two, or maybe even three cases. Very trumas ad ashen, right? The sampling of ashes that they remove from the mizbeach and put on the floor near the mizbeach. It's burnt up. It's done. It's after the fact. And still we find that one may not misuse it. At the risk of me'ila, or the truma sadeshin. So yeah, so that provides a precedent. Well, says the one, you're right. Actually, that's not the only case. There's another case as well. Now, if you have two halachas on the same wavelength, two identical cases, and the Torah had to repeat it once, and again, the Torah is telling you don't apply that anywhere else. It's unique. It's limited to these two cases. Otherwise, the Torah would just say it once and we would just expand it everywhere. So one is Trumas Adeshin, and one is Big Day Kahuna, the white begotten that the Kohen Gadol wears in Yom Kippur. So according to the Chachamim, once it's used on Yom Kippur, you have to put it away. You can't use it anymore. It's Asur B'Hanah. It's another case of something after it's being used, after a successful, you know, mitzvah fulfillment, and it still retains its off-limit properties, right? So you have two examples of such, which requires us to limit it to those two places. and not extend it further, such as blood of a carbon. Answers the Gemara Mishum Nava Trumas Hadesh, which we just mentioned, and also Ubide Kihuna. These are Shnei Ksuvin Van Ke'echa, two psukim, heading in the same direction, basically a repetition. And we know when we have two psukim teaching the same concept, it's meant to be limited to those two places. V'chol Shnei Ksuvin. Habayin Ke'echa Ei Malamdin. You can't pass that information on to elsewhere. Well, it says Gmarnichal Rabbanan, that works according to Rabbanan, the Amr you say, V'nicham Sham, when the Pasuk tells him to put away the Begadim after Yom Kippur, Malamed teaching us Shatu'un Gniza, have to put it away for good. It's off limits. So that's the second example, which you're going to pair up with Trumas Hadesh. Ella, but according to L'Rav Dois, who says you can still use Bigdei Kahuna, just don't use it next Yom Kippur. You can use it throughout the year. You can give it to a Kohen Hed, a regular Kohen to use. The Amor says Mutar is saying the Kohen Hed. A regular Kohen can use those four Begadim after Yom Kippur. Or will God provide Shleish Tamesh Ben? Uliyam Purim Acha, provided it's not going to be reused next Yom Kippur. According to him, there's no Isra Hano. So this goes off the list. You're left with only one precedent for something which is still Asr even after fulfillment of the process, like the Trumas Hadeshin. So not Ma'ikel Meimar. Why don't we stretch that and apply that elsewhere, like blood of a carbon? The answer is, we actually have another example of something which is Asr even after fulfillment. Mishum Dehavi Trumas Hadeshin, because we have Trumas Hadeshin as first on the list, and also Ve'egla Rufa, the calf whose head is beheaded, when they find this murdered fellow on the road, right? And even after fulfillment of the completion of the process there, the calf is still off limits. It's Asr Bahano. So that's your number two. And that gives us Shnei Ksuvin Ben Ke'echa, two psukim on the same page. V'chol Shnei Ksuvin Ben Ke'echa, we have two psukim on the same concept. Ein Malamdin, you can't apply that elsewhere. Well, Hanich Lamadam Ein Malamdin, that certainly works according to the Shita, who says that when you have two, you can't expand. El Mandamar Malamdin. However, according to the Shita, that you could expand it. So back to the question, Michael Lemaimer. Perhaps we should include blood as well. So why are we assuming that Dam Lacha Kapara has no meal? Answers the Gemara. You know why? Trei Miyutik Sivi. Because we have two exclusionary terms to tell us that in fact this halacha is limited to only these two places, Trumas Hadeshin and Egla Rufa. Ksivacha, we have two miyut. It's very miyutik siv. Okay, we have two miyutim. Hacha ksiv. Over here by the Egla Rufa it says, Ha'aruf. The extra hay tells us this one. But nothing else will have the same status. V'hasam ksiv, and elsewhere by the Trumas Hadeshin, it says, V'samay, place it near the Mizbech, leave it there, unused, don't, you know, benefit from it. It's off limits. That's a miyut, V'samay. It's limited to this material and nothing else. Okay, so bottom line is, we solved this issue. Although we do find that in some exceptional cases, material can still retain its Isra Hano, even after the fact. Like Trumas Hadesh, Egla Rufa, perhaps Big Dei Kihuna of Yom Kippur. But it stays limited to those cases, and we don't expand it further, such as when it comes to the blood of a carbon. So certainly after the Kapara, it's Mutter. Hence, it allows for a comparison, says Rabbi Yochanan. Who? It's consistent, before, like after. Just as after, it's Mutter, likewise, before as well. So basically, we have three sources now to free, so to speak, blood of a carbon from Ila. Why do we need all three? We have Lachem, we have Lachaper, we have who? Utlasa Kroy Badam Lam. Why three psukim by Dam Lam? Here comes the punchline, and that's why it relates to our sugya. Lemuta me'ilah, me'noiser me'tumah. To exempt it from three halachas, me'ilah, noiser, and tumah, as per our Mishnah. But in terms of pigel, we don't need a special exception for that. We don't need a pasuk, because that's plain simple logic. It doesn't fit the bill for pigel, right? Our pigel is a crow. We don't need a pasuk to exempt dam from pigel. It's not. Mishnah explained to us why pigel doesn't apply. Kol she'esh le'matirin. Bein lo'odam bein mezbeach chayav ne'lo v'shem pigel. Only material which has something else that will affect it, will permit it from consumption to man or mizbeach. Then pigel can apply. As opposed to the dam of the carbon, which is a generator. He's not a receiver. The dam gufei, the gam itself, is the materu of the carbon, so he can't become pigel. Amar b'yechna. Talking about three sources for the same thing. Here comes another. Shloisha krisis b'shlamim lamali. We look in the Torah, we find no less than three psukim teaching us that if a person is tamei, he may not, if he eats a carbon, like a shlame, eats carbon material, he gets karis. Why three psukim for the same halach? The answer is achas l'chlal v'achas l'prat. One is to generalize, one is to specify, Rashi explains. He would think that perhaps it's limited to a shlamim. Because one of the psukim speaks about a tummy eating shlamim material. No, achas l'klal. That's why we need a general reference, which refers to all the kachim. Right? It says ala kachim, right? So, although the Torah then specifies and singles out a shlamim, it's not meant to limit it only to a shlamim. It applies to all karbanos. So why single out shlamim? So Rashi says, that's a formula that we know. Davar shohaya b'chlal, something which was included in the general package, and then sort of made its way out, and was singled out as a, you know, separate entity. Lelamed ala klal kula yotza. He's coming to serve as an indicator for the entire package. Basically, Rashi says, to tell you that every kodshim is bech, every carbon is susceptible to the halacha of Isser Tumah. Okay? So Isser Tumah applies to every carbon, not just shlamim. But it has to be similar in a way to a shlamim. It has to be kodshim is bech. As opposed to kodshim bedek habayis, you know, part of just building fund material. There's no karis upon eating that when you're tummy. Achaz l'klal, one has a general reference to cover all karbanis. Achaz l'prat, one has a specific reference that has to be similar somewhat to a shlamim. The third pasuk is va'achas l'dvarim she'ena ne'cholan. Oh, to cover even inedibles, as we had in the Mishnah, even firewood meant for the mizbeach, even incense, spices, which are not edible. The halacha of tuma bekaris applies to them as well. That's according to the Shitas Chachamim. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, who disagreed, he held in the Mishnah that inedibles are not open to the halacha of tuma. Ulu Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, always tell us, dvarim she'en ne'cholan, inedibles, hein chayoven, alei mishim, there's no chiv tuma. We have an extra pasuk now. What's it coming to add? It's coming to add that the Isra Tumah applies even to a chatas that's internal, like the one of Yom Kippur, etc. Why would I think that, you know, that one's different? Because we're going like Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon, if you recall, told us that pigel only applies to external karbanis. So perhaps just as pigel applies to externals only, maybe Tumah also. Perhaps I would say, Hoyal, since Rav Shimon tells us, a carbon which is not an external carbon like a shlamim, which serves as a prototype for pigel. So if there's no external element to it, ein chayav alam shem pigel. There's no chayav pigel on the internal carbon is chatas, because the blood is placed internally. So perhaps shem tumah namid l'chayav, perhaps tumah as well, will not apply to internal karbonis, because it has to be similar to a shlamin, which is the example that Torah mentions, even with respect to tumah. Kamash malon, that's why we have this new pasuk to tell you, guess what? Tumah applies to all karbonis, internal and external. Numi, so it was said, Rab Shimon mechayiv v'shadarkalech, Rab Shimon tells us that tumah only applies to edible materials. So there are two aspects of tumah, by the way. there's karis. If the person has personal tumah upon him and he eats carbon material. Now, if the person is tar, but the material is tummy, there's a lav. He violated, you know, negative transgression. According to Chachamim, the halacha of tumah applies to edibles and inedibles equally. Rabbi Shimon says only edibles. Itman, we had a discussion regarding this machlekes. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who typically would go as a peer many times in Shas, right? And we have Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. They were also considered a peer. Maybe they were chavruses. So these two peers, in this instance, they crossed over. Chad mihai zuzo. One person of this peer, we're not sure who's who, but we know that one of this peer crossed over and joined another member of the other peer. V'chad mihai zuzo. So we have sort of newly fashioned peers with respect to this discussion. So again, it was two against two, but it wasn't the standard peers. It was sort of a crossover. In any case, okay, so what happened? Chadamar, newly formed peer of Chachamim, presented like this. Machlekes b'tumas basar. When do Chachamim apply a chiv of tumah by inedibles as well? That's limited to tumas basar. When the material is tummy, we call it basar, really we're talking about firewood, it's a term, because the pasuk speaks about basar. Actually, Rashi brings that the ribuy, how do we know to include even inedibles? Typically, inedibles are not liable to eating-related prohibitions. But here it's different, because we have an extra pasuk, v'habasar. If the basar is tummy, the word v'habasar is extra to cover even things which aren't really basar, even inedibles. They're also open to the halachas of Isra Tumah, if they are kachim, right? So it's only there that the Rabbanan say that there's a chiv. Right? If the material itself is tummy, it's Isra Lav. Avo b'tumas aguf, but if we're talking about the other aspect of Tumah, right, we discussed that two aspects, right? Personal Tumah, which generates courage, and itemized, so to speak, Tumah, which generates a lav. But with respect to personal Tumah issues, there's no pasuk for that to cover, to include even inedibles. The Rabbi all agree, even the Chacham agree, ain't a look, there's no malchus. That's one opinion. The Chadam, the other one disagrees. There's no difference. Personal, itemized, Chacham say it applies even to inedibles. Machlekes bezu, just like there's machlekes by itemized, kach machlekes bezu is machlekes by personal as well. My time and why? Because they're compared to each other. Even the Karinim base, since I can apply on the material which is tummy, I apply the pasuk of Habasar. The item which becomes tummy should not be eaten, and that covers even inedibles, as we mentioned. So in the previous pasuk, we have a discussion about personal tumma. So we equate the two, we compare the two, and it applies even to inedibles. Karina Bay, we apply on it with Tumasu Elov, which relates to the personal tumma as well. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hachim, Tavyumi had this version of events, as we just discussed. So again, the starting point is, the Isra Tumah on inedibles, kachim inedibles, applies or not? Chacham says yes, Rav Shimon says no, according to one opinion. It applies whether it's personal or item related. According to the other opinion, it's only regarding the item. Personal, that wouldn't apply to inedibles, according to all shittas. However, Rav Kahana had a different version of events. Masni Hachi. So again, Chayd Mehazuza, V'chad Mehazuza, one of this pair, one of this pair, Asefa. We're focusing on the second part of the mission, on Rav Shimon's opinion. That was the starting point. He says, Tumah does not apply to inedibles. Which aspect of Tumah are we speaking? Material or personal? Chadamar. So one pair of Chachamim said, Machlekes b'tumas aguf. When Rav Shimon discounts the halacha of Tumah on inedibles, that's limited to personal tumah. Because there's no pasuk. Aval b'tumah is basar, but if the item is tummy, the Rakhah, like all agree, even Rav Shimon agrees, there's malchus. Even by inedibles. V'chadam, the other one disagreed. It's all the same thing. Kim machlekes bezu, kach machlekes bezu. Just as Rav Shimon discounts the isra of tumah on inedibles regarding personal tumah, likewise, when the material is tummy. Amarava, mistabra. It makes why I seem to agree. Commander Omar, Kamachlekes Bazu, Kach Machlekes Bazu, the Machlekes applies equally in both cases. Meaning, according to Rosh Hashanah, there's no tumah, even when the tumah is material oriented. My time of why? Kiven the loy karina be tumah seyalav. Since when it's an edible, we cannot apply the first pasuk. V'nichrasa the chorus upon eating it when the person is tummy. We don't have a pasuk to cover inedibles in that context. Likewise, it won't apply even in the second pasuk. Right. So again, it's about equating the two aspects of tumah. Loy karina be, we don't apply on the inedibles in the second pasuk as well. Loy karina be v'abasa shi'ika v'chal tum loy yoch. So basically, Reb Shimon discounts tumah on inedibles, irrelevant, irrespective of who's tummy. Asks the Gemara, but we do have a pasuk to cover inedibles that are tummy. V'amamar v'abasa, the extra word v'abasa, the rabbis is coming to cover even inedibles. Eitzim levoina, wood, incense, spices. V'sula ba'alma, says Rashi, it's just a din d'rabbana, it's a chumrah. We treat it as an edible, as edibles. It's susceptible to becoming tameh. And the pasuk is just like a hint, a smachta, a support to this din d'rabbana. And really, there's no malchus on it. Hence, Rav Shimon discounts inedibles from any aspect of tumah liability. So, in a nutshell, the starting point was the Mishnah. Chiyuv tumah on inedibles applies or not? Rabbanan say yeah, Rav Shimon says no. So according to one opinion, this difference of opinion applies equally to whether the issue is personal tumah or material tumah. We have another opinion that regarding the material that's tumah, all agree the tumah would apply. The chiyuv tumah would apply. We have a third opinion which says that Nechlek is only regarding material which is tummy, but regarding personal tummy, all agree it's exempt. So we have three ways to understand this Nechlek. Continues the mission. We speak so much about the proper intention, the proper kavanah. L'shem shisha dvorim hazavach nizbach. When one shechts a korban, he's meant to have six things in mind. And we learn them all from a pasuk, as we're going to see in the Gemara. L'shem zevach, number one. You have to write the korban in mind. If it's an oila, you have to be focusing on the oila. You can't have something else in mind. L'shem zaveach, you have to have in mind the owner of the korban. You can't have the other person in mind. L'shem Hashem, it's for the sake of Hashem. L'shem ishim, it's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. L'shem reach, it's going to generate a pleasant aroma. Kaviyachal for Hashem. L'shem nicheyach. It's going to bring nachas ruach to Hashem by fulfilling His will. So that's six. We have a seventh. V'achatas v'ashem regarding korbanos that are coming to be machaper. L'shem chet. He has to have a mind. Rashi says, L'shem chet yishumaviya olav. The specific sin that it's coming to cover. Amar Rabbi Yosi, you know what? Better not. Don't have anything in mind. Just come in cold. Bring the carbon, process it without having, because you're just running a risk of confusing things. Because instead of having the right thing in mind, you might have the wrong thing in mind and ruin the carbon. Even if a kohen didn't have anything, any of these in mind, it's still okay. In fact, it's preferred. This was directed by the Bezin, that we shouldn't get involved in labeling and confusing. And the Mishnah continues, because really, the kohen is pivotal to the success of the korban. He determines the status. The owner can't salvage it from the outside. You know what determines? The oivid, the kohen, the one who's doing the avodah. The machshava is determined by the oivid. So rather than run the risk of having him, you know, he's got a busy kohen, he's got korbanos all over, he might confuse things. Just bring it as is. Whatever it is, don't have anything in mind, and then it's okay. Amar Rabbi Marav. The first item in the Mishnah is L'shem Zevach, for the sake of this specific carbon. It has to be properly labeled. Oyla L'shem Oyla. So Rashi explains, he's going to be narrating a pasuk for us, which reads, Oyla Ishei Reach Nechayach L'Hashem. which will provide the source for all six proper intentions. The word Oila, very simple, L'shem Oila. You have to have the right carbon in mind, as opposed to L'shem Shlom and Deloy. It's incorrect to have another carbon like a Shlom in mind. The word Ishei, L'shem Ishim, for the sake of being burnt on the Mizbeach, L'fuke, as opposed to what Kavava, Rashi explains, they would maybe barbecue it before putting it on the Mizbeach. No, it has to be directly put on the Mizbeach and burnt and consumed by the Mizbeach fire only. L'fuke, as opposed to Kavava Deloy, this, you know, pre-roasting, that's not acceptable. The word Reyach in the Pasuk teaches L'shem Reyach, the generator and aroma, as opposed to Adafuke Ivarim Shetzolim Vehelon, Deloy. As opposed to pre-roasting it before putting it on the Mizbeach, in which case the aroma has already dissipated. So let's just go back. Ishim, Lafuki, Kavava, Deloy, Rashi explains actually it means that he would put it on the coals on the Mizbeach. It's not directly consumed by fire, it's going to be sort of more, barbecued on the coals. That doesn't work. It has to be consumed directly by fire. And the next item, the Shem Reach, as opposed to pre-roasting it before putting it on the Mizbeach. Deloy, that doesn't work. Damar Bidam Rab, as he tells us, Evorim Shetzolon, limbs of the carbon which were roasted, Vehelon, and then he put it on his Mizbeach, Eimam Shem Reach, loses the Reach aspect. The word Nechayach tells us, Hashem HaNachas Ruach, to give Hashem Nachas Ruach, Rashi says, Nachas Ruach Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'amar V'nas Ritzayna. After all, the point of the carbon is to generate goodwill, generate Hashem's favor, and that's the purpose. And finally, Hashem, for the sake of Hashem only, the one and only Hashem, as opposed to other, all kinds of spirits and powers that are, roaming around the world. L'Hashem, L'Shem, Misha, Amar, V'Yo'ilam. For the sake of Hashem, the creator of the world. Amar, V'Yidam, Rav. Speaking about diversions, what about a chatas? Sheshacht, L'Shem, Oila. Psula. He did the chatas thinking it's an Oila. It's possible. Shalei L'Shma, right? But, ironically, L'Shem, Chulim, Ksherav. He has in mind a non-carbon. I'm doing the Shkita as a non-carbon. Just a regular animal, then it's okay. Why? How could it be? An oila interferes, chulin not? You would think chulin is worse. The answer is, yeah, it's worse, and that's why. He's a non-player. He's a non-entity. He's not a competing entity. Only a fellow carbon can serve as a competing, interfering entity. But chulin doesn't have a say in the matter. Amar b'lazim my time at the Rav, it's based on a pasuk. V'lo yichalul l'skad shei b'nei Yisrael. Don't be mechal by diverting and mislabeling, using a different carbon instead. Kachem, Mechal, and Kachem. Only Kachem has the ability to ruin a carbon vein. Chulin, Mechal, and Kachem, but Chulin doesn't have that ability. He's a non-player. He has no say in this equation. Masav Rab, here comes the question. Ma'al Mishnah, Rabbi Yasi, you know what? Better, don't have anything in mind. Af Mishaloy Haya. Believe Lishamechem Kalelu Kachem. If you have nothing in mind, it's okay. Why? Because that's the way the Bezdin established the system. Shouldn't I best? Now, Taima, Shaloy Haya, Believe Klal. Apparently, that's because he had nothing in mind. So he's safe. Ha, but ha, you believe l'shem chulin pasul. But it sounds like if you have chulin in mind, it would serve as a diversion. It would make it possible. Unlike what we just said. Amalei Abaye. Says Abaye, listen, Dilma, maybe you're right. Lo yaya klal, believe by klal. He had nothing at all in mind. He just brought the carbon coal. That's the best. Kasha umarasa. The carbon is kasha and it's accepted, fully accepted by Hashem. Perfect carbon. But in terms of an inference, let's say like this: you're right. If he had chulin in mind, it's not ideal. It's not meratzah. He hasn't really, fully fulfilled the purpose of the carbon. It did not really generate ultimate goodwill. He has to bring another one. But technically, the carbon is kosher, as per the halacha that we just stated. Okay, just see a little bit more. Amr Belezer, Chatas Sheshacht L'Shem Chulin Ksheira. Okay, as we just said, if he mislabeled a Chatas as Chulin, it's okay, because Chulin is not a player, it's not an interfering or competing entity. However, Mishum, let's say, he didn't realize that it's, he thought it's really Chulin. He wasn't, consciously mislabeling. He really thought it's just a plain carbon that roamed into the Beis HaMikdash somehow. And he did a Shechita with that in mind. Mishum Chulin. Believe it or not, it's psula. It's even worse than having chulin in mind. If he knows it's a carbon, he has chulin in mind, it's not really shalei l'shma, it's kosher. But if he's innocently really thinking that this is a chulin animal, so this shechita is not a a shechita as a carbon shechita, it's just a mundane shechita, then it's worse. It's psula. Why? K'debayim b'nei Shmuel m'rapuna Shmuel asked from Rapuna. There's something called nisasik, preoccupation, right? A person, you know, on Shabbos, as he's walking down the hallway, accidentally brushes by a light switch and it goes on. That's not a malacha. It's not even a shaygig. It's less than a shaygig. It's not unintentional. It's less than unintentional. He's preoccupied. He's engaged in walking, not engaged in turning on switches, right? Menayim is asik b'kachim shu puzzle. How do we know? If one did the shechita on a carbon, in a misasik state of mind, he's busy with something else. He's busy with a chulin carbon, at least in his mind. It's a totally different maisa, different activity, different act. Shu puzzle doesn't work for carbonis. You need focus. You need cognizance, awareness. Shenamar, we have a pasuk v'shachad es ben abokof ne'ashem, and we learn ashtei shchita l'shem. He has to have in mind l'shem ben bokof. This is a carbon. That explains the previous halacha. Omar Lisi says zubi adenihi. So he asked him, how do we know that there is such a thing in masasik pas? So he told him the pas. He said, yeah, we knew about this source zubi adenihi. I knew this one biadenihi. What I was looking for la'akibin. How do we know that it's critical? It's essential. We learn from that pasuk. That in fact, it has to be with proper focus. But not by way of, you know, a preoccupied experience. Okay, so we learned the three exemptions applied to dam: no meila, no iser noiser or iser tuma. Pigul is obvious. We learned about the three psukim of kares by Achilas Kachim Betuma, Klal Prat, and for Einan Ne'echolin, Chodem Shimon Fachatois HaPnimiyes. What about Tuma for an edibles? Carbon edibles, we have Rabbanu say yes, Shimon says no. We have three ways to understand the Machlaikis. The six things that one should have in mind, according to Biesi, they were suspended to avoid confusion. And it's just sort of presumed, and it's kosher even without conscious awareness. Chatas Hashem Chulin is kosher, Mishum Chulin is psula. Because by kachim, misasik is puzzle. Rather, we need ledaitchem, proper das, proper focus, and awareness. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.